have a seat there and open your Bible to Jeremiah chapter 15, would you? Jeremiah chapter 15, you came the right time. We're going to have a good time tonight in the house of God. We're not planning to chew anybody out, all right? We just want to encourage you a little bit tonight, okay? So if you find there Jeremiah chapter 15, get Jeremiah chapter 15, then I want you to stick your finger in your Bible there and close it and hold on to it, all right? Because I want to sing Get the New Look from the Old Book, all right? Got that chorus, Get the New Look from the Old Book. How many of you know it? You know the chorus. Good, good. There you go. Now, when we say book or Bible, you got to hold yours up, all right? So you got to do that. That's the reason. Hold it on. All right. Here we go. You ready? Get the new look from the old book. Get the new look from the Bible. Get the new look from the old book. Get the new look from God's Word. The inward look, the outward look, the upward look from the old book. Get the new look from the old book. Get the new look from God's Word. I don't have any idea why the thought occurred to me while we were singing that, but a lot of churches today don't really encourage people to bring their Bible. I've been before and you don't see anybody carrying a Bible, and if they were to sing that chorus, I know they put the words up on the screen. I guess they'd have to say, get the new look from the old book. I don't know, but it just occurred to me that thought, you know, so maybe that's what they have to do. But all right, Jeremiah chapter 15, you're there. I want you to look in verse 15. O Lord, thou knowest, remember me and visit me and revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. I sat not in the assembly of the mockers, nor rejoiced. I sat alone because of thy hand, for thou hast filled me with indignation. I'm going to leave off reading there. Look, Jeremiah was called to preach, and he was called to preach revival to God's people, the Israelites. But man, he knew it going in because pretty much God told him, I want you to preach a revival, but there's not going to be a revival. I mean, he knew going in how things were going to be. It was difficult. But in spite of his weeping and preaching, the number of people that God, you know, that changed it all, maybe one. And that's all we can point to from the scriptures that we know anything about. And so I think about him. His was a very discouraging ministry, all right? Now, you may think, boy, I have faced some discouraging circumstances and situations. I've gone through the mill and had all kinds of trouble. And many people that do that get the idea of somehow that it's permissible for them to turn aside, to step down, to pull out, or just plain quit on God, all right? Now, Jeremiah didn't do that, but I'll be honest with you, right here in this chapter, Jeremiah is complaining a little bit, all right? He's complaining. You look at some of the things he said, all right? He said there in verse 15, remember me and visit me and revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke. Yeah. Down in verse 17, I sat not in the assembly of the mockers. I sat alone because of thy hand. That's right. For thou hast filled me with indignation. Right. Jeremiah, just a little bit of complaining, all right? And the truth is, he revealed there was a little weakness in his faith there in that passage. But I'm not going to be too hard on old Jeremiah. Because I'll be honest with you, man, when you try to preach and you try to do stuff and, boy, nothing happens, it can be discouraging. Yep. It can be discouraging. I mean, nobody even comes down the aisle. Nobody prays. Amen. You can't even make people stirred up enough. They fold their arms and glare at you, all right? So much you think, well, they're not paying attention at all, you know? And so that can be discouraging. But there's one great positive that we see in this passage of Scripture, and it's in the verse that's in the middle. we went back and we looked at verse 15, we looked at verse 17. The great positive is in verse 16, all right? And what we see here, he said, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I'm called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Man, what a blessing, all right? In this verse, if you will, we see just a little bit of the relationship Jeremiah had with the words of God. And what a blessing. Look, you and I ought to have that. I want you to notice the first thing he said. First thing he said is, thy words were found. Thy words were found. He had the words of God, and he knew it. All right? He knew it. Wasn't any doubt about it. He wasn't arguing about that. He knew they had the word of God. Hey, look, the words of God will never do us any good if we don't know you have them. They don't do you a bit of good if you don't know you have them. We debate a lot of things, but around here we don't debate the Word of God. Amen. We're just not going to debate that. We know we found them. Here they are. This is it. It's it. It's true. Praise God, we've got them. To this extent, I can hold them in my hand, all right? I can hold them in my hand. They're not reserved somewhere in some ancient pile of manuscripts that you've got to go dig through and pick and choose to find. No, I've got the Word of God. I can hold it in my hand. Amen. Somebody said, do you believe the Bible's Word of God? Yes. Which one? This one right here. Amen. This one right here. I can hold it in my hand. Hold it in my hand. Hey, we don't make any bones about it. We believe King James Bible's the Word of God. Because of that, people, give us some flack. I've got kin folks that make fun of me because of my stand on the King James Bible. But it doesn't bother me. I sort of feel sorry for them, all right? I just sort of feel sorry for them. They've got a book, but they're not real positive this Word of God. They would say, well, I'm sure it contains the Word of God. Man, I remember my dad saying so many times that we've got the Bible, and he said it doesn't contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God. You said, preacher, I've heard that before. Good, you just heard it again, all right? I don't want you to ever forget that. We've got it. We found that book, all right? Jeremiah had it. He did not doubt the words of God. Yep, he was complaining a little bit here. Yes, his faith maybe was going through just a little bit of a weak spell, but he didn't make the mistake that we see so many people make when they get in a time of weakness, they get in a time of trouble, and they begin to doubt the words of God. Doubt the Word of God. Hey, listen, you're going through the storm. That's not time to doubt the book. That's not the time to doubt it at all. But a lot of people do. A lot of people do, man. You get in a storm, you get in trouble, and we begin to doubt, all right? No, not Jeremiah. Jeremiah knew he had the very words of God. That kind of faith will do something with those words in the life of an individual. And that's the kind of faith we need. Hey, listen, can I ask you a question? Why in the world should God do anything for somebody who doesn't believe what he said? Right. Why should God do anything for somebody who doesn't believe what he said? I've told people stuff before, and I don't believe you. Okay. Yep. That's fine. Nothing I can do to help you, if you don't believe what I say. But I'm telling you, it's the truth, and you can take it or leave it, Just take it or leave it. I remember I've pulled out money out of my pocket before, standing here at this pulpit, and held it up and said, here it is, you can have it if you want it.
Right, amen.
Y'all remember, somebody hear that?
Yes, sir. Oh, yes.
Remember that day, and people looked at one another, and some people, they kind of edged up in their seat and thought, no. But finally, one young person jumped up, ran up, and got it. I said, the problem with the rest of you didn't believe me.
That's right. Amen.
You didn't believe me.
Amen.
Hey, you don't believe what God said, don't be surprised God doesn't do much for you.
Amen.
Just don't be surprised he doesn't do much for you. Jeremiah said, I found his words. I know I've got his words for sure. But then I want you to notice what he said he did. He said, I did eat them. I did eat them. That may sound kind of strange to you. But that is one way to get the word in you, okay? That is one way to get the word in you, all right? Now, I'm not suggesting and I'm not preaching to you, go home, get you some ketchup or mustard if you're a mustard person, you know, and peel out a couple of pages in your Bible, put a little condiments on it, chew it up, eat it. I'm not suggesting you do that, all right? I don't think it'll do you a whole lot of good. I don't want you to literally chew up the pages of your Bible and swallow them. But I'll tell you this, I am in favor of devouring His Word.
Yes, sir.
Devouring His Word, all right? Literally do that. Now, when you think of devouring something, I mean literally devouring something, you don't think of a picky eater, do you? You know, a person that gets their fork and just kind of moves the food around, rearranging it on their plate, and they'll get a little tiny bite, take a bite of it. I'll be honest, those kind of people irritate the fire out of me. I don't like to eat with them, all right? Now, I like to see somebody eat where they look like, man, this is good stuff.
Yes, sir.
We sat down to lunch today. Man, we had a wonderful lunch. My wife had fixed it, and I said, boy, this is really good. We can do this again, all right? This is good stuff. But, I mean, hey, to devour something is, the thought is it's done with gusto, all right?
Amen.
It is done with gusto. It's done with pleasure. You don't devour it going, oh, man, this stuff's terrible. You don't do that, right? If you're devouring it, that's not the way you go about it. You go about it because, hey, it's good. I'm enjoying it. Hey, that is exactly the way we ought to be regarding the words of God.
Amen.
We ought to just devour His words. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, you say, you mean read it. Yeah, I mean read it.
Oh, yes.
But don't read it like it's a death sentence.
Amen.
Like kids at school. All right, now here's your homework. You got to go read 5 pages. Oh, man. Okay, I mean, here we got it. You want me to actually read words? Yeah, pages, yeah. I know when the kids in school, they get to a certain point and they're assigned a book report and they have to read. I don't ever remember this terminology, but they read what they call a chapter book, all right?
Yeah.
Book's got different chapters in it and they have to read it, you know, and report on it. I got to read the whole thing? You know, just could I just, you know, read the fly leaf from front and back and see what the story is and just kind of make up in the middle, and that'd be all right. Man, look, when we talk about reading the Word of God, that shouldn't be the way it is.
Amen.
That shouldn't be the way it is. I don't know how y'all are, and I'm serious. I like to get mail. I like to get mail. I read the mail.
Yep.
I'm gonna tell you the truth, I read the junk mail. Most of the junk mail, I read the junk mail, all right? And just see what it is. I'll open it up and I'll read the junk mail. And because I enjoy getting mail. I'm not real enthusiastic about stuff when it says resident.
No.
Obviously, that's no big deal. But if it's got my name on it and it's written to me and sent to me, I like to read it. Friend, I'll tell you, there's no better thing. This book's given to you. This book was given to you and I, and we ought to be willing to read it, you know, to just get in it, to happily, enthusiastically read it. But wait a minute, to happily and enthusiastically listen when somebody's teaching this book.
Amen.
Or somebody's preaching this book.
Oh, yeah.
Look, I don't know how many times I've read it through. Now, I haven't read it through 375 times. I know that.
Amen.
I don't know how many times I have read it through, but I'm just like you. There's still times, man, I come and I'll be sitting and somebody be preaching and I'm going, whoa.
Uh-huh. Yes, sir. Come on.
Man.
Right.
Never saw that.
Amen.
Man, jot that down.
Amen.
Because it's that living book,
amen.
All right?
Yes, sir.
Now, I'd miss that if I didn't listen.
Right.
Okay, you know, somebody gets up, open your Bible to Psalm 23. Oh, great. Another sermon on the 23rd Psalm. Yeah, but you don't know what God's going to give you, okay?
Amen.
And we need to devour this book. There ought to be that attitude about us. Man, glory to God, I've got a chance to sit Somebody's going to teach me the Bible, or somebody's going to preach the Bible to me. I've heard sometimes that they preach the word and they mess it all up when they preach it, but I got something out of it. I mean, it was they slayed the scriptures, all right? But I still got something out of it, okay? I mean, you listen to some old hillbilly read, and he probably calls Job Job and that kind of thing, but I can't tell you how many times I've heard people, I think, totally mispronounce words, but man, I can get something out of it. Get something out of the Word of God. We ought to devour this book. Hey, why? Same reason you eat. You eat to nourish your body. And we devour this book to nourish our soul and our spirit. Man, it needs it. It needs it. You wonder why you sometimes feel like you do. You feel empty. Nothing there. You haven't fed that inner man. You haven't fed him. You haven't fed her. You've let that one go. Oh, we take care of the outer one. We take care of that. We eat. We say, well, I got hungry. Okay. Man, we're to devour the Word of God for the sake of our soul, the sake of our spirit, that it would nourish us and keep us strong, keep us healthy spiritually. We're to have that concern. This last week, I was listening to the radio. Listen, I listen to a radio station out of Greenville, South Carolina. I listen on the internet, and I heard a song I'd never heard before. And they were singing this song, and it says, I've been in the book. Amen. I've been in the book. And they kept on, and they sang a verse, and they get down the chorus, I've been in the book. But the thing that got me is when right at the end of the chorus, it said, I've been in the book, and now the book is in me. Oh, yeah, that's what we need, all right? Jeremiah, he ate it. Now, don't chew it up. But, boy, you need to devour this book. Oh, what a difference. You said, what'll it do? There you are, Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16. Thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. That's what it is. Thy word was the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Those words brought joy to him, all right? When you get the words of God in you and let them work in your life, joy and happiness are going to be the result. It's not misery. It's not pain. It's joy and happiness. Hey, it's joy to read the Word of God and see the work of God in the lives of the people in the Bible. Now, when you read your Bible, and I'm going to mention some famous stories in the Bible that you're familiar with. Everybody is familiar with them. Daniel in the den of lions. Now, our problem is we look at it. I know what happened. Yeah, but would you put yourself back in that stage when you were a kid? And here you go. You've got Daniel defying an ungodly king and a wicked king. They had passed a law, and a bunch of people are out to get him. Hey, you've watched the movies, and you're pulling for the underdog, right? Hey, man, I read my Bible, and I think about old Daniel and all that crowd that got up against him and said, we got to get rid of him. Got to get rid of him. Here's the way we're going to do it. Here's the way we're going to do it. We're going to make a law that'll keep him from worshiping his God, because that's the only way we can get to him. So they did. I read that story, and I begin to think about it. I begin to think, get him, Daniel. Go for it. Stand your ground, man. Stand your ground. And he did. They threw him into that den with the lions. And there's old Nebuchadnezzar all night long pacing the floor, couldn't sleep, couldn't get it going. He gets up the next day, and he says, hey, Daniel, is your God able? And he hears that voice from the den there. Oh, King, live forever. My God's able. My God's able. But that's not the end of it. Now, I don't know how y'all feel, but it's the way I am, all right? I like the end of it. Where they took all the crowd that accused him, threw them in. They got ate up. While they're doing it, I'm going, all right, all right? That's exciting. That's exciting. What a joy it is, all right? I think about old Samson fighting the Philistines. He'd gone there and he had whipped a lot of them, done a lot of damage to him. Now he's sitting up on a rock where they can all see him. And they send somebody up to get him. And old Samson says, I'm going to let you tie me up and you take me down. You just promise you won't fall on me. They said, all right, here he is. Now, they bring him down. They bring him down. They're ready to get rid of him. And old Samson looks around and sees the jawbone of an ass. That'll work. And you see the ninja Samson going to action, man. And he whooped 1,000 people. Killed them with the jawbone of an ass. Now, y'all will watch some stupid foreign-made karate film that's choreographed to a T. You know, and if you watch carefully, you see people hold back. Okay, now it's my turn. Okay, and then they come. Hey, that wasn't the way it was in Samson's day. It wasn't choreographed, all right? He didn't win because they had a little thing they wanted to show. No, he won because the Spirit of God was upon him. And I'll be honest, man, I like that kind of stuff. I like that kind of stuff. I like it when the underdog whips the bad guys, all right? I enjoy it. I get excited. There's joy in it, all right? I think about the three Hebrews. They're cast in that fiery furnace. And I like the song. I remember hearing old Brother Roloff sing and talked about how they looked inside and heard Brother Shadrach say, come on in, warm your hands. We came here to stay. They're up walking around in the midst of the fiery furnace. And the king had to say, hey, would you guys come out here so I could talk to you? Now, I believe those three Hebrews had to think about it a little bit. Hey, man, we're in here fellowshipping with the Son of God. We're fellowshipping with the Son of God. Now you want me to come out and just talk to you? You're just the king, Jack, you know? You've got nothing. But they did. Hey, man, I read those. That brings joy. That brings joy. Said, preach, that's all Old Testament. All right, let's go to the New Testament. I read about Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas, they're preaching, and they get captured. They're beaten, and they're thrown in the inner cell, man. And they're there licking their wounds, singing, woe is me. Life is hard. You know, oh, Lord Jesus, how long? How long? No, I don't believe that's what they were singing. My Bible said they were having a good time. They were singing. They were praising God. And then God shook the whole place. The shackles fell off. All the cell doors came open. And everybody, the jailer, he's ready to kill himself. And Paul said, don't do that. Hey, there's something we can do to help you. Oh, listen, can you read those stories and go, ah, boring. Boring, not me, man. Man, I read those accounts in the Word of God and I get excited. I get excited about what's there. But I'll tell you this, I can read those places when it's doctrinal books. And you begin to read and see what God says about our relationship with Him. And He talks about, He said, that can't separate you from the love of God, and that can't, and that can't, and that can't, and that can't. I can't read that and go, isn't that wonderful? No, man, I don't read it that way. Hey, it becomes, whoopee! None of those things can separate me from the love of God. Hey, I'm telling you, we'll devour this old book. It'll bring joy. It'll bring rejoicing in our lives. Hey, Paul and Silas rejoiced in the midst of the trouble and the suffering. The three Hebrews rejoiced in the midst of the fire. It wasn't that they were delivered and they never had to go through it. No, God took them through it. And they still rejoiced and honored. There was joy and happiness, all right? Hey, but you get to that, it's a joy to put the Word of God to work in your own life and then see what God, only God can do because you obey Him. Oh, it's exciting. It's as exciting as it can be. We try to get people to come and go with us and knock doors. And I realize it's difficult. I think it's more difficult today maybe than it's been in years and years. A lot of people, today have those doorbells where you ring them and they can see you. And they go, we don't know them. We're not answering the door. Now, some people say, well, preacher, it's because you wear a shirt and a tie and it's obvious. Okay, if I'm there with a pair of shorts and no shirt and a pair of tennis shoes, you think that opened the door then? All right, I don't think it matters. I think they look at the door, they look out there and they say, I don't know that guy. We're not going to the door. Not going to the door. But every now and then you knock those doors, and every once in a while, God gives you the opportunity to take the Bible and open it up and lead some old sinner to the Lord, to see that sinner bow their head and hear them pray and ask God to save them. I want to tell you something. It's shouting time in heaven. It is shouting time in heaven. It's shouting time here. Hey, I'm telling you, if we just get this book in us, it's a cause for rejoicing. It's a cause for joy. Jeremiah knew it. They brought joy to him. I read this book. It brings joy to me. But something else. I want you to look at the last part of verse 16. He said, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Jeremiah knew God by the words of God. By the words of God. Hey, it's in the Word of God. It is in the Word of God that we can know Him. We can know Him. We don't know God by meditation. We don't get out and go, I feel a presence moving on me. We don't know God by that. It's not by meditation, all right? We don't know God by staring at nature. I'm out in the woods and there's the stream and there's the scampering squirrel and the fish jumping in the stream. Look, I don't think about God then. I think about shooting the squirrel and catching the fish, all right? And I'll be honest with you, I do, all right? You don't know God by staring at nature. You don't know God by contemplating the universe. That's not going to do it for you, all right? You meet Him in His Word. You meet Him in His Word. He reveals Himself to us in His Word. In His Word. We just keep reading it, all right? You're not going to know Him apart from the Word of God. You're just not going to do it. But you get in this book and He reveals Himself to us, all right? But you got to read it. You got to listen when somebody's preaching. You got to listen on purpose. You got to listen when somebody's teaching the Word of God. It's a part you and I have to do. But that Word, man, it helps us to know God, all right? We live in a day where so many people have fashioned a God in their own mind and think that's what Jehovah God is like. They're so far off base that it's unbelievable. Man, they're totally wrong. But the great purpose of the Scriptures is to reveal God in Christ Jesus to me and you. It'll reveal Himself to us. I'm not like Moses. I'm not going up on the mount and saying, now, Lord, I want you to come by, pass by, and show yourself to me. Just put me in the cleft of the rock and let me know when you're by and I'll take a glimpse of your back. Nope, that's not it. That did that for Moses, but I'm not Moses, you're not Moses. Moses didn't have this book, but we do. We do. God will reveal Himself to us. And Jeremiah said, I'm called by His name. Called by His name. Aren't you? Aren't you called by His name? That word Christian, called by His name. By His name. He's not called by our name. We're called by His name. Hey, I just want to ask you tonight. Do you have the same relationship with the words of God that old Jeremiah had? Do you have the same relationship? Or do you look at the Bible and you go, oh my soul, I'm looking for something. Y'all be patient, okay? Man alive, 1,353 pages? And you want me to read it all? Man, I don't think I can do that. Don't think I can. Kids in school, they get a book that thick. And they go, you want me to read the whole thing? Every bit of it. Even look at the pictures, all right? I had a college professor one time that tested us, and he would ask us questions about pictures in the textbook. I thought he was a little bit strange and over the top. No, I tell you, I thought he was a great teacher. Great teacher. But he even asked questions about the pictures in the book. Hey, listen, everything in this book is for us. All 1,353 pages in this one. In this one. Yep, read it all. But not like it's a death sentence. Well, you know, this is going to take a long time. Yep, if you view it that way. In the beginning, God created. Man, this is dull. Hey, read the book. Read the book. Get in it. Let that book get in you. You would testify, you would say to me, preacher, I know I found the book. I found the words of God. I know these are the very words of God. Well, man, devour them. Let them put the joy and the rejoicing in you that only that can. You want to know God? Get in the book. Get in the book. And I'm going to use the words of that song in closing. I've been in the book, and now the book's in me. What a difference. What a difference it'll make. Heavenly Father, I pray tonight you'd help us. Lord, just a simple, simple message from the Word of God. What a blessing it is to know we've found the words of God. We've got it. We can hold them in our hand. But Lord, you didn't give them to us to hold them in our hand. You gave them to us so we could read them. And we could hide them in our heart. And Lord, what a change it makes in us. Lord, oftentimes we as Christians get dry and shriveled up spiritually because we've neglected to feed the soul of man. We've not devoured your book. We're unhealthy. We're anemic as Christians. Because we haven't been faithful in the Word of God. Lord, would you just help us tonight? Lord, would you help us to put a plan in motion? Hey, I'm going to read that book. I know I've got it. I'm going to read it because I know there's joy and rejoicing therein. And Lord, I'm called by your name, and it's the way I'm going to know you and to get better acquainted with you, to know what you want, and Lord, to know the relationship I can have with you. Lord, help us to read the book. Lord, if we need to come tonight to the altar, Lord, I pray you'd help folks to come. To do business with you. Lord, maybe there's sin that needs to be repented of, hadn't been preached on, but Lord, you're dealing with folks. Help them to come. Maybe it's indifference. Maybe we got a little bit casual towards the Word of God. Lord, would you help us tonight? Speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.